On this week's episode of Marketing O'Clock.
Google advertisers, we have a new report, GA4, you.
A large search engine is apparently dealing a five-finger death punch to publishers. What? Wait. Dealing a five-figure sum to publishers using an AI publishing tool to create three stories a day.
Partner problem or partner the solution? Google will let you see SPN impression data for PMax campaigns.
All on today's show.
Welcome, you are listening to Marketing O'Clock. Just stay tuned. Digital marketing news, but let's get specific. Digital ads, SEO and analytics, social media and more. Pretty much everything that'll make your website perform. With new shows every Friday. We give you the news with sass and puns and definitely hot takes. Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially Marketing O'Clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.
Hey there, I'm Christine Zernheld.
AKA Shep.
I'm Jess Budd.
And I'm Greg Finn.
And it is officially Marketing O'Clock.
Here on March 1st, 2024.
Ooh.
We made it. February is the longest, shortest month of the year. But it was longer this year. We survived a leap year.
Yeah, it's basically March 2nd, really.
And we survived a week without Greg. How was your trip?
So my trip was something. I realized, I'm not calling it a vacation. I had kids there. I've gotten better at planning these trips, but I made a fatal mistake during this one that was really bad. And I went to Arizona. So I tried to pack in way too much in 3 days. I tried to go to Sedona, the Grand Canyon, which is all in about 5 hours of drive time, and then back to Phoenix, and then go to a hockey game. And so, and I had to do a webinar.
Yeah, you worked.
So we got in, and I actually tried really hard to do everything the right way this time. So we get in, we go to Sedona, my kids make the stuff out of glass. They're melting glass. I'll send you pictures, tables, you can put it up. They made a flower and this cool paperweight, and we're had molten, glass and doing all this stuff. They had the time of their life. And then we hiked Sedona and played in the pool, all that stuff.
That's cool.
Get to the Grand Canyon and we see the Grand Canyon. I put up a post. It snowed and for a minute you couldn't see it, but it was actually really cool. And then I had to do the Paid Search Association webinar the next day. So I get the kids up early. I'm make them deals. I'm you guys can play on the iPad. You just got to be quiet and all this stuff. And the hotel had good internet, which is great. I start recording and they're great. But I'm in a hotel room with 2 9-year-olds and I'm seeing them out of the corner of my eye while I'm recording, and I'm in a corner and all of a sudden I hear these beeps.
And I just took the dumbest terms in a low budget, in aggressive TROS, and I gave it a shot.
And it's beep, beep. And their charger had knocked the phone off. So I'm in this recording.
The hotel phone?
Yeah.
The landline?
You guys hang the phone up when on my recording.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Okay. I thought it was a decent presentation.
It was.
But, and so then to make matters worse, I'm doing this recording, talking to the camera in a hotel room with 2 9-year-olds. I'm also supposed to be kicked out of this hotel room anytime. And I wrote a note.
On checkout day?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Everything was one day, then checkout. Three different hotels. That's how much of a psycho.
This is insane. You should not have done
that. I know. Okay. Anyway, so I'm sitting there waiting for something to happen. My son decides to stop playing his iPad and start shooting a movie about me when I'm recording this. So I'm sitting there giving this presentation. He starts walking around tables. I'll send you the video. He starts walking. I'm in this little circular table. He starts walking around. He's filming. And I'm sitting there trying to talk to the audience. And I'm don't knock the camera. Don't knock the tripod over. And he's just recording it. So I'll get this footage. You can see me. I'm kind of looking at the camera, kind of looking at him. And I'm oh my God.
Is he going to produce this movie anywhere?
Yeah. I bet he thought it was so cool to see you in action.
I didn't yell. I'm like, yeah. It's fine. Like, he's happy. He's having a good time. I'm happy.
I don't know how you kept a straight face. No,
at one point in the webinar, you can see me. I'm like following him around. Like, what are you doing? So he's just like paparazziing me while I'm giving this talk. And then this is where I made a big mistake. I'm like, we're driving 3.5 hours back to Phoenix from Grand Canyon, same day. I just want a place near the hockey game. I don't want to have to drive again. I just want to be able to like walk to this hockey game and then go to the airport the next day. Mm-hmm. So when I was setting up the tickets, these tickets were ridiculous how much money they were for an NHL game. I'm like, really? I didn't even know people follow hockey in Arizona.
That's a good point.
It was the Maple Leafs. So I think like because it's a Canadian presence, I mean, everybody there looked like Pete Holmes. Like it was all Maple Leafs fans.
There's a lot of Canadians in all Arizona. Canadians.
They invade. They do it crazy to our arena too. I mean, we're close.
But we're right there.
I know, but I feel like they have a serious following.
We get to our seats and there's this guy that again looks like Tom Green or something. And I'm like, sir.
Famous Canadian.
Sir, you're in our, like, what seats do you have? Because he's sitting in our seat and I've got two kids, right? And he's like, oh, I'm not sitting here. And I'm like, I beg to differ, sir. And then he just like stands up. And I'm like, what are you? He's recording some guy that scored his 50th goal. But it's practice. And I'm like, and he just stands up and he's recording. I'm like, dude, you got to get out of the seats. Like, what is happening? Anyway, it was hysterical. There was not like, there might have been like 5 Coyote fans there. Let's give it a warm welcome for your Coyotes. Everybody get your phones out. Get the lights going. And they like shut the lights off, like hoping it's like a concert. There might have been 15 lights. I am dying. I took a video showing that there's no lights. And then these people are just coming out to like darkness. And I'm like,
so sad. Who were you rooting for? Like, do you care? Was it just something to do? Or do you guys care about that team?
Tom Green was in my seat. I was rooting for the Coyotes.
Well, the Coyotes are a real NHL team.
Yeah.
I usually have an awareness of all of them. I have never heard of those people.
I got crushed. But so my big problem was, I'm like, why are these seats so expensive? I didn't understand. Like, I've never seen a hockey game this expensive. But I'm like, oh, whatever. And I ask Siri where the Coyotes play. And I got a hotel right next to that. I'm like, I need to double check this. Something is up. And I'm like, where do they play? I'm like, oh, it's in Glendale, right next to the Cardinal Stadium. Not in 2023, 2024. They had a lease problem. So they had to play at the Tempe University hockey facility, which seated like 4,000 people. Like, you get more people at our kids' soccer game.
Yeah.
Like, it was ridiculous. Oh, no. And it was another 50 minutes to drive. So I just drove from the Grand Canyon, and then I had to drive 50 minutes. And I haven't done this, but I am going to ask Siri again. What arena do the Arizona Coyotes play in? Can you read that for me?
The Arizona Coyotes play their home games at the Gila River Arena in Glendale, Arizona.
They don't. They play it in Tempe, Arizona at ASU.
I've seriously never heard of them.
Since when are they not the Phoenix Coyotes,
but
by the way?
I Siri'd it. I'm like, I can't mess this up. Like, I want to have a good trip. And it cost me an hour and a half of driving. Probably more. It was like 50 minutes to get there. And then we left early. So it might have been like 30 minutes to get back.
Oh, man. And they lost the game. They weren't playing well.
Yeah, but the guy scored his 50th goal.
Wow. So you thought it was hard being a Sabres fan.
Well, so anyway.
It is.
That was my trip. But I'll put up us on tables the paparazzi video of me and also the Coyotes.
Sounds like a great vacation.
It was actually super fun.
Before we get into the news this week, we want to thank Wix for sponsoring this week's episode. And specifically today, we want to talk about the SEO Resource Center. Every time that I log into the SEO Resource Center, I feel like I am stealing from Wix. Because
they're our sponsors.
I know. I feel like I'm like a bandit, just like taking everything away. This is where they house a bunch of fantastic downloadable assets that are going to make your life easier as an SEO. It's full of templates, toolkits, cheat sheets, Google Docs, and Google Sheets that are all going to help you work smarter, not harder. If you want to access any of these resources, all you need to do is provide your email address and it'll be sent right to your inbox. So don't just take our word for it. Check out the Resource Center to see all of these assets for yourself. That is wix.com/SEO/learn/assets. or click the link in the description of this week's episode. Thank you, Wix. First up in the news here, Nicola over at Search Engine Land let us know that starting March 4th, Google Ads advertisers using Performance Max will have access to impression-level placement reporting of search partner network sites. Impression level, there weren't a lot of details here, but that makes me think that we're not going to see like conversion or click data. This seems to all just stem from that story about the green M&M a few weeks ago, aka people found out that Google ads that were opted into the search partner network sites were showing on not safe for work websites. So I think they're doing this to show you where your ads are showing, but they might not give us performance data, which would be ideal. But that remains to be seen. Also, even better than that, you can now set placement exclusions at the account level that will apply to placements for search partner network sites, as well as YouTube and display ads. So you can do it at the account level and it'll apply to all of those campaigns where you're opted into the search partner network. So that is, I think, the big headline here, because before, for PMax shopping, you didn't have any insight into where your ads were showing if they were showing on Search Partner, and you couldn't opt out at all. So it's going to kind of be a, well, they said you could in March.
It's not really the shopping part, is more the PMax part. Yeah.
So they announced in 2023 that we were going to be able to opt out until March 1st, but nobody really knew how to do it unless they had a Google rep, where this seems like they're actually putting in action, anyone's going to be able to do it. So I definitely like that.
Yeah. And I think this is a big deal. Like, yeah. Even if you could see the impression level stuff, that it will at least give you like insight into, do I want to show up around this type of content? Mm-hmm. And I know that that's a huge deal. And right now, if you're running PMax, you are likely on Breitbart or whatever the alternate of Breitbart is on the other side. I don't know what those things are. The green M&M. But like, you'll show up there and you can do a search on Breitbart. If you're running PMax, you're probably see your ad. So you can get rid of that effectively, which is awesome.
But you're going to want to look at those impressions to see which sites you want to negate. Like, that's what we have to do with the Microsoft Advertising Network expansion for search in Microsoft. So look at those placements, make sure you know where you're showing up and exclude them where you need to. But at least now we have the ability. Another update here, PPC Greg asked our ads liaison, Jenny Marvin, if we'll be able to see search partner performance broken out for all campaign types. And she said no. Currently, it will only be for PMax. Search partner sites will show alongside display and Google-owned and operated placements in the PMax placement report. And they're going to evaluate later, apparently, if other campaign types can do it in the future. But you can still opt out entirely in those other campaigns. So at least we have it for PMax for now.
I guess I don't understand. So it's going to show alongside Google-owned and operated, not in Google-owned and operated. Correct?
Yeah, because so Google owned and operated
you probably
is those
can't
placements you, yeah.
Where you're in Gmail, YouTube in Discovery, yeah. I don't think they're going to break that out, though, by just search partners. I think they're just going to be like placements in general, would be my assumption.
You think it's just going to say search partners or?
No, I think it's going to be like, where did your ad show?
And then GreenM&M.com.
Yeah, and you have to go GreenM&M.com.
Yeah, yes.
Because that would be actually very helpful if you could see like some of those search partner specific placements.
Oh, you don't think it's going to do that? You think it's just going to lump them all together?
Well, PMax does display also.
Right.
So I think they're probably, I don't know. It'd be interesting. If there is something where it's like search partners,
I see what you're saying.
That could be big in general just to try to, I mean, you probably shouldn't be doing search partners, honestly, unless you have seen it work for you, which it can, or if you're running something branded. I am an advocate for search partners if you're doing something branded.
Yeah. But again, this is only for PMax. So I'm picturing it. I've done a lot of work recently with the Microsoft Audience Network to get opted out for that one account. And the way they have it is it'll be Microsoft sites and direct traffic and then search partners and then Audience Network. And the Audience Network sites, if you're opted in to the expanded inventory, I have a tutorial about this, by the way, on our YouTube channel, but it will list out every site in the Audience Network that you've appeared on and any conversions and revenue that have come from that site.
And then you can exclude it.
Yes.
Yep. Cool.
So that's what I'm picturing, but I don't know for sure. We'll have to wait and see. What else is happening, Greg?
Okay, by way of Glenn Gabe, apparently Google is paying a handful of independent publishers a five-figure sum for 1 year to use an unreleased suite of generative AI tools to post stories. And from the article on Adweek, they say, in exchange for the five-figure sum, publishers must use the tool to publish 3 stories per day.
Wow.
So it's an unreleased special tool mm-hmm. that Google is telling publishers to use and paying them to use, but they have to use it a certain amount of time in their paper.
Do you think the publishers know what it is?
They must.
I mean, I understand publishers are in a bad spot right now, but that seems like you should be outed if you agree to this, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. You're like, hey, 3 stories, I just have to use this tool that Google gave me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want news from that.
I'd love to know if, like, they're giving, not fake names, but, like, is there an author attributed to this? Are they going to call it a tool or what? Because it's just, there's all kinds of problems with this.
I don't know. Some people are like, it's going to be like republish work. There is a Google representative that said the speculation about this tool being used to republish other outlets' work is inaccurate. The experimental tool is being responsibly designed to help small local publishers produce high quality journalism using factual content from public data sources like a local government's public information office or health authority.
What's in it for Google, though? They don't do nice things.
Probably getting people to use whatever this tool is.
For sure. Like, they're going to learn from it somehow. It's not even, like, something
that you're, like, it's still, like, a beta tool. It's not like you're going to be like, oh, I'm going to go tell my publisher friend in Milwaukee about this thing.
Yeah, a small publisher, nonetheless. Like, they've never cared about the little guys.
I don't know.
Something's fishy.
So then Glenn went on to say, it gets better. The beta tools let under-resourced publishers create aggregated content more efficiently by indexing recently published reports generated by other organizations. I kind of talked about that. But they can summarize them and publish them as a new article. These sources of original material are not asked for their consent to have their content scraped or notified of their participation in the process, a potentially troubling precedent, according to the article from Jason. And there was a quote from Jason Kint in the article.
Extremely fishy.
Yeah, very.
I don't really get where Google is in AI anymore.
I just feel like there is some underlying, they're going to get something out of it. They wouldn't do it, but yeah. I don't see it.
We talked about it like a few weeks ago where Google was saying like, you can't use AI to try to maliciously or specifically increase your search engine results, which they will say about anything. You could say an image. You can't use an image to try to beat our searchers. So that could be anything, but it's odd that they're now paying news outlets mm-hmm. to use a tool that they made
to generate content
to then index and rank to send them traffic. Mm. Strange.
It's that meme with all the, do you know what I'm talking about? The strings and the clues and the guy. What show is that from?
Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's Charlie.
Never seen it, but I know the meme. All right, last up here in the main news, PPCers rejoice. There is now, or at least will soon be, an out-of-the-box Google Ads report in GA4. So I don't know if you really want to rejoice, but it's something you can look at. Fans of the UA version will be happy to know all you have to do is link your Google Ads account with GA in order to see the GA4 version of said report. Shout out to Thomas himself for spotting this first and hollering about it. Search Engine Land then reached out to Google, who did confirm that it's happening. They noted, too, they being Google, that if your ads account is not linked to Google Analytics, you'll see a page that prompts you to do so. I do not see said prompt at all, and I don't have the report. I looked just today in one of my accounts, so maybe this is rolling out slowly, but you can check for yourself. You just go into advertising and then performance, and then in theory, there's a Google Ads report in there. So just another data source. It's nice. You can look at things in there, but if you have it.
Now it's time for this week's Take of the Week. This is a hashtag fire digital marketing take with extra spice served up for you. We simply deliver the take for your consumption. We give no opinions. We don't influence. You make the call.
This week's Take of the Week comes from the one, the only Sam Tomlinson at Digital Sam I Am on X. Sam says spicy, parentheses, but it shouldn't be, end parentheses, take. If your approach to PPC/digital marketing relies on exclusively the ability to do, quote, cutting edge or, quote, new hotness stuff, that's not a business. It's an arbitrage opportunity. A durable advantage is 80% doing the basics brilliantly well.
Hmm.
I'm going to nominate this for take of the year.
It's a good one.
Everybody's always like, oh, what are you doing? What, get the edge. Like, you got to do everything the right way. Got to do everything good across the board.
I have a product idea. I'm going to go in Shark Tank.
Okay.
Okay.
Who am I?
You are.
Can I be Mr. Wonderful?
Okay. You're Mr. Horrible. And you're Bethany Frankel.
I need licensing costs.
Never seen the show.
I need licensing.
Sharks, today I present to you a tear-off calendar for PPC practitioners, but every day it's just another quote from Sam Tomlinson.
I like that.
Is Sam in on this?
Yes.
Will you give me 5% royalty till perpetuity? I will give you your investment. You have to give me that money back within 3 months times two. And then 5% royalty fees forever.
No, but you can have a free calendar.
Okay, sold.
I mean, I've never seen Shark Tank, but I concur.
You've never seen Shark Tank?
No, I've never seen Shark Tank. Do I look like someone that would watch that?
It's the great equalizer.
It is hard-pressed to find a human on the planet that's never seen Shark Tank.
I've probably seen more sharks.
Like in person?
Yeah.
When have you seen sharks?
Never. Maybe at an aquarium. That's
You've
what I mean.
You've never seen a Shark Tank.
I've never seen an episode of Shark
Tank. Okay, you have homework for next episode.
I'm not going to watch an episode of Shark Tank.
Your homework is to watch an episode of Shark Tank
and
report back.
Okay. Now it's time for this week's ICYMI.
ICYMI, people.
This is something you just might not have seen. Maybe something that you overlooked, but you shouldn't have.
ICYMI people from Sarah Steeman at Runner Kick on X. She asks, am I the only one seeing a ton of Google Ads people complaining about overspend the past few days? Is it just typical end of the month stuff or is it something nefarious going on? And a bunch of people were replying. Melissa Mackey from her at Beyond the Paid account replied and said, we had to pull way back on a couple of accounts where nearly every campaign spent two times the daily budget, SMH. So I think overspending is something that happens a lot at the end of the month if you're using smart bidding. So just check in, make sure you're not leaving them around. Maybe there's some signs to the shorter month too, awesome. Or the leap year.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people tweeting about this, asking about this. But real quick, so thank you, Sarah and Melissa. What are your thoughts on the QVC lady on Shark Tank?
Oh, she's excellent.
Everything she says is like, well, I think this would be really good on QVC. And I'm like, I know one person in my life that has ever watched QVC.
And it's me?
Yeah.
But a lot of the products would be great on QVC because those Shark Tank business people are pitching, like they're going to pitch on QVC. Like she's just auditioning them.
Oh, that's a good point.
That's half
you do have
pitch.
To stand there and sell it.
Yeah.
And saying you've been on Shark Tank is probably a really good, that's a selling point, right?
I feel like that's her only selling point though. She's like, oh, I know QVC.
It's a big deal. You can get a lot of these products are primed for QVC. Scrub Daddy,
Scrub Daddy
came from Shark Tank. It was like season
one. I love Scrub Daddy. I'm going to watch that episode.
Yes. Okay.
I want to see the birth of the Scrub Daddy because now there's a Scrub Mommy and she's phenomenal.
And now they're on the queue.
Now it's time for this week's
pew, pew,
lightning round. At this point in the show, we split up our content into three parts. Paid, organic, and social.
First up in the paid universe this week, Thomas Essel spotted an update in Google Ads. They're always testing these limited status warnings. The latest update he found is they're testing changing the red limited by budget warning to yellow. Would that make you guys click and raise your budge?
No, because the yellow one seemed like it was due to the bidding type was where I was getting that. So we had an issue where we had a data problem basically penetrate into our Google Ads account. We had to move a bunch of things to eCPC to kind of fire it up, get more data through. Yellow is limited by bid type. I don't know why it's now limited by budget.
Because
it makes sense.
I feel like psychologically, when I first saw the colors change in the platform, I was just like, oh, I'll click on this and see what it says. Like, it's something new. Like, limited by budget, depending on the account, like, sometimes I'll just scroll past because we don't have more budget, you know?
Yeah. But you thought because there was a color change that they might have different things to say?
I didn't think. Mm. Like, not that I approved it, but I feel like when I first saw the yellow in there, I clicked it to read what it said. You
I feel
know
like
what I
it's
mean?
Even easier to ignore it, to be honest, which I don't feel like they would want.
But I wouldn't have a problem with that if we didn't have a yellow warning
right.
specifically based on bid type. don't make the budget the same as the bid type.
And then limited by search volume is red or yellow?
Is black. Yeah.
Well, Thomas was getting into the psychology of it. He said red is danger, sacrifice, heat, and courage. See, yellow is color of happiness, sunshine, and enthusiasm.
Oh,
you
have,
I have one here limited by budget, red, one limited by bid strategy, yellow. Why would you switch that up?
I feel like they just are trying to see what people click on.
And also that limited by bid strategy is such a lie.
Yeah.
We just had an issue where we were having problems spending after this data outage, even after exclusions. We moved things to CPC and it's doing phenomenally better. It's not limited. It's actually like thriving. Like look at that ROAS right there. That's crazy.
From here, it looks like several digits.
It's four digits.
That's amazing.
Update from Nicola from Search Engine Land. Google is investigating a local service ads bug that is causing businesses to appear in search results for their competitors' names.
Oh, perfect.
She says this bug came from the platform starting the new branded local service ad option where you can toggle that on and appear in branded search, and that is called direct business search. Google has clarified that through direct business search, only your business should appear in search results when your brand is queried.
But you can opt out of that.
Yes. And charges will be incurred solely for leads from new customers. So the LSA people, we've seen Anthony Hickman, you know, they're always in the SERPs Googling things and seeing what comes up. So they're saying if you're showing for a competitor's brand name and somebody clicks on it, you're not going to be charged for that. Sounds like a bug that needs to be fixed. And she credits Joy Hawkins for finding this in the SERPs. Thanks, Joy. I also think they're scared of Anthony Hickman. You know?
Oh, they are totally. He knows.
Who isn't?
I think that's a big part of it. If there's an LSA problem, they got to get out ahead of it. Google Ads API version 16 is launching. No huge changes, but some updates include recommendations based on your settings, insights into why an ad is not serving, the ability to apply changes made to the original campaign to the experiment campaign while the experiment is running. That'll be nice.
That would be nice.
Updated operation types for customer lifecycle goals and campaign lifecycle goals, and easier tracking for the business registration verification process.
Also, speaking of Anthony Hickman, we put out like a teaser post on social media about something new that's coming to cypressnorth.com. By the time this is out, you can go check it out. And PPC Greg made a guess. He said, Cypress North After Dark. A new podcast called Marketing O' Shock, where Greg Finn and Anthony Hickman rant uncensored about Google Ads.
Actually, that would be kind of fun.
That is pretty
good. But you couldn't do it every week.
No.
That wouldn't be good for your health.
I feel like PBC Greg and I could do a podcast every week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should I be
really
scared?
I like the name. No, Marketing Shock. No. That's good.
Marketing Shock, yeah.
It would have to be like a monthly thing.
Yeah. You need a lot of smelling salts.
Yes,
to
you would. Mm-hmm. LinkedIn published actionable steps before the third-party cookie deprecation. Number one is create a robust first-party data strategy. Number two, they want you to embrace AI, like their predictive audience tool, to replace those old cookies. And three, they want you to reevaluate your reporting. So don't use last click because it's going to be impacted by this, and leverage more CRM data so you can kind of like fill in those gaps and see the whole story.
These
I think they're
not
worried.
Like actionable steps. These are like maybe someday I could do these things and tell me how, please.
Embrace AI.
It's news. Google is enforcing stricter rules for consumer finance ad targeting. So in the United States and Canada, categories like credit cards, all types of loans, debt management products cannot be targeted to audience based on gender, age, parental status, marital status, or zip code. So just have some keywords, probably. Anthony Hickman Corner here. First up, he noticed an update to the change history tab that has a toggle so you can see changes by user and see all the changes that a specific user made. I like this when I'm looking for like maybe I made a mistake and I can just look at my own name. And then there's also a toggle for performance where Google Ads tries to gauge how this is helping performance. And there's a little summary tab there for the user one. So like, I think if you make a lot of changes in a day, it'll list them out. It's kind of nice. I don't know.
Yeah, I like
it. So positive. Anthony Hickman approved. He liked that one. Let's see if we can keep it positive with him this week. He said on his at Anthony Hickman X account, just feel the need to reiterate how bull heck this new PPC ad type is and how the introduction of this new ad type makes everything in PPC make 0 cents now. 3 exclamation points. Every word is in title case. And he's talking about this new carousel for LSAs that I think has 8 ad spots, which is just crazy. He says, what is my top impression share or absolute top impression share on an ad type that has 8 effing ads in one RSA ad spot?
He feels like the second ad here.
You know.
It's just like, no.
There's a lady who must have just had an accident, but luckily the airbag didn't deploy.
Yeah, I hope she's parked.
You're right.
Driving conversion.
I hope she's parked. So yeah, not Anthony Hickman approved.
All right, and before we get into the organic section here, shout out to the Wix Resource Center. Shocking how much data they have.
You're just stealing it too.
Over on Wix. You're stealing it. I'm not. I'm giving my information.
I gave it.
Easily putting that download link in there.
Yeah.
You get that instantly. And there were two different resources that I would say you should check out. One of them is something I think many people overlook. And I've got a couple different notes here, but it's from Nick Leroy. And it's a client retention checklist, which I think many agencies sort of overlook, right? Is your, how do you retain your clients? There is a full list, but a couple of things I thought were really interesting on here were on the onboarding side of things, where you need to agree on the KPIs, which I don't think enough people do. There's like, oh, we'll do your SEO. And then you're like, okay, but you don't really see. Like, before you start that engagement with the onboarding, Nick makes great points in this checklist. You can download this, get everything. He says, you need to determine what metrics should be impacted by this campaign. You need to outline the time frame for implementation, outline the time frame for results, which is huge. Mm-hmm. It's not instantaneous. And then forecasting rough ROIs if things go the way you think it is. And then another element in the client retention checklist, which is free, by the way, completely free. You can talk, this is something I think most agencies don't do. I think we do a decent job of it. And I try to like push it in our meetings, maintaining engagement. So here are some things you can get when you download this. Being proactive. Are you seeing a new trend? Share it with your clients before they see it. We're huge on that here. It's like, mm-hmm. Hey, just so you know, here's SGE, blah, blah, blah. There we go. Like letting them know what's coming.
Be the news.
Yeah. Introducing new initiative to reduce stagnation, going outside the scope of your work to support company-wide initiatives, communicate plans to respond to trends and updates. Just great. And they said to include this if we had time, maybe include one resource. I couldn't do it. I couldn't never do it. I can never do it. There's another great resource by Lydia Infante, a full-on Google Sheet that you instantly get to duplicate, and it's an SEO competitor audit.
Wow.
Lydia has a how to use this document by identifying your keywords. If you look at the sheet, she fills in all these different keywords so you know exactly what to do, where to get it from. She says, download it from Ahrefs or Semrush. Get this here. Do this there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps to do, some optional steps. And you can see there are 5 different sheets within the spreadsheet where you put in your basic keyword set, your SERP data, your competitor landscape data, your competitor landscape, and then your keyword summary. And it just aggregates everything you need to do and see what's going on with your competitors.
That's really awesome. Cool.
Where else can you find this?
Nowhere, you that's can't. Where.
Besides Wix.com. Unbelievable.
That's the place.
And there's tutorials, there's guides, there's sheets. Everything you need to know is in this resource center.
Free.
Free.
F-R-E-E.
So it's obviously Wix.com, Wix.com, Wix.com. But Shep, hit them with the URL.
Wix.com/SEO/learn/assets.
So Wix.com/SEO/learn/assets. Or if you're watching it on YouTube, just click in the description to see it. Or if you're listening to it on your favorite podcast player, we've got a link in there as well. So thank you, Wix. All right, first up in the news from Glenn Gabe, the AI-powered search engine Perplexity launching an AI-generated daily news podcast.
I thought that was like a Grecian goddess.
They usually are. Let's look it up.
All right, you look it up, but Perplexity is a newer Google search rival. It has some top-tier investors, including Bezos. So anyway, if you are not familiar with Perplexity, it launched last year, has 10 million monthly active users, and has an ad-free experience. So it's the podcast that it is making with AI. It's called Discover Daily, and might put us out of a job. Shep, your thoughts?
I don't think it's going to put us out of the job.
No.
Do you think AI can talk about Shark Tank and QVC and Lori?
No, and I don't think it can get angry like you and Anthony.
I don't get angry. Do I get angry?
Actually,
I'm angry you call me angry.
I'm sorry. Perplexity would probably speak the truth about Google too, because they're coming for Google's neck, you know? So maybe we should be scared.
I'll have to give it a listen.
I want to tell you that Perplexity is not a Greek goddess, okay, but the definition of the word, inability to deal with or understand something complicated.
Not a good name for a search engine.
Terrible name. Not aptly named. Not doing well.
Yeah, they should call it Unperplexity.
Much better. Really rolls off the tongue.
Inperplexity. Okay. So next up from search engine land, apparently Microsoft tried to sell Bing to Apple in 2018, but it failed. Aww. I thought the reason
that would have been nice.
I know. That's what I was thinking too. It's like, yeah, but the reason is kind of sad. The sale was unsuccessful, according to search engine land, because Apple had concerns about Bing's search quality, advertising unit, and monetization capabilities, according to a document in Google's antitrust case against the U.S. Justice Department. So Apple's like, I'm going to buy it, but like, your quality kind of sucks, and like, I'm not really confident in your advertising monetization.
Can't they just make it a little better?
Can they just make something?
Can't they just make a search engine?
Yeah, I don't get it, but
what's the holdup?
I don't know. All right, so we talked about Reddit and Google last week. We didn't, you guys did, but Glenn Gabe at Glenn Gabe on X, a must follow, had a post saying, is Quora also providing Google a fire hose of data? After the Google Reddit deal was announced, I noticed the number of pages ranking Google doubled for Reddit since the Hidden Gems piece rolled out. I wondered if Google was receiving a fire hose of data from Reddit. Yep, that's part of the deal. And since Quora also surged like crazy then, rankings-wise, I checked the number of pages ranking in the top 100 based on SEMrush data. And yep, that has also surged like crazy. In May of 2023, 6 million pages ranked in Google for Quora. As of today, 10.4 million pages rank, a 73% increase. So that begs the question, is Quora also providing Google a fire hose of URL and content? Eager to learn more about this if another deal is announced. But Google is definitely stepping up their push for perspectives. Okay, next up from modernretail.co. This is kind of ads-based, but the way that they framed it wasn't, and they framed it really wrong, so it's in organic.
Well, thanks.
The name of the article was TikTok Shop Listings Are Surfacing on Google Shopping. And according to Modern Retail, in recent weeks, sponsored TikTok Shop listings began to pop up in Google Shopping, in particular with results for beauty and skincare products currently sold on TikTok Shop. Shop, resident TikToker, do you buy beauty and skincare products on TikTok?
I don't. I haven't bought anything on TikTok. Remember my New Year's resolution?
Oh, yeah, yeah. How's it going?
Not great, but I haven't bought anything on TikTok.
Okay,
just
so
elsewhere.
Google searches apparently for trendy beauty products like nail art or Dior lip oil dupe.
I can't tell if you're joking.
No, I don't know what Dior.
Like a dupe is it? Dior. It's expensive.
Dior, yeah, lip like a oil clone. Dupe.
Are you joking?
Like a knockoff.
I was like, oh, this might be like an SEO thing. No, it seems like they're sponsored listings. So apparently TikTok is pulling in a feed maybe of select lip glow Diore.
Yeah.
Dior?
I cannot tell Dior. If you're joking.
No, I don't know Dior. What the name is. Dior lip oil dupe. Okay, so if you're looking for that, you can now find it. But it doesn't seem like it's in the organic listing. So it seems like this is like an ad campaign. And friend of the show is listed and quoted Wow. In modern retail.
Which friend? We've got lots of
Mike
them.
Ryan.
Whoa.
Retail? Mike Ryan retail. Wow. On Etsy.
That is not surprising at all. Says, he's a big deal.
I know. He's, I know. And a great guy.
Yeah.
He says, I couldn't detect the TikTok shop ads until mid-December or the week of December 11th. I would describe the presence as ephemeral or very niche right now. And it's apparently selective. But then the article, like the author, this might be AI. They go on to say, Google SEO is typically seen as a bottom of the funnel channel to capture customers, period. Like, bro, there's no SEO in this. This is an ad. Why are you talking about SEO?
That's just a weird sentence also. Anyway. I don't like it.
You can optimize those search engines by paying to get to the top.
Is this one of those three required pieces?
So, I don't know. Mike Ryan's in there more and he's got more quotes saying, I do get a bit worried because all these deep-pocketed platforms could potentially take traffic away from typical search-focused advertisers. But for more, get all the notes over on community.marketingclock or newsletter.marketingoclock.com. Okay, YouTube is updating the way that it displays revenue in your videos in the app. It's within your YouTube Studio app. You can now see your top earning videos in a specific category and have separate tabs for shorts, video on demand, live updates, or live uploads. So you can now see that broken out by video. All right, next up, there was a, I kind of liked the name of this. It was an article over on Search Engine Land, and the article title was Google. Don't punish us for our success in search. And apparently Google was saying in a legal document about a new antitrust potential suit, the evidence conclusively established that Google is the highest quality, most popular search engine in the United States with the highest general search engine advertising monetization. Yet plaintiffs would have Google punished and uniquely handicapped from competing to win these revenue share agreements. I agree with Google on this. Like, they have the best search engine. People use it. They shouldn't be like dinged for it because people are willing to pay more. Like Apple doesn't want Bing. Okay. That's Bing's problem. That's not Google's problem. Apple's willing to dish out billions and billions and billions of dollars to use Google. That's fine.
I think it's our problem too, though.
Yeah. Now, on the other hand, there's also some talk about Search Ads 360, which is the platform that used to be called DoubleClick that Google purchased to run inventory across multiple networks. And this is where I think they're in trouble. Like, you got to call it the way it is. And they have a great search engine that people use all the time. But they address the claim by Colorado plaintiffs about unfair operation of Search Ads 360, stating that it's not obligated to engage with Microsoft on all the Search Ads 360 features. Google argued that its conduct aligns with standard practices and that it contends the Colorado plaintiffs failed to demonstrate harm to its competitors. And here's a quote. Punishing Google's conduct here would harm, not promote, competition by diminishing Google's incentive to offer and improve its cross-platform SA360 tool in the manner most responsive to advertisers' demands. If you recall from the Summers antitrust trial, Microsoft was trying to get things implemented within Google's ad-serving platform and couldn't. That's where it's anti-competitive. That's where it's antitrust. Saying that I got the best search engine, I don't have a problem with that. You do. I haven't tried Perplexity yet, but supposedly like they're rolling these features out to Microsoft too. That's where you're only working on Google features, not Microsoft. That's the antitrust stuff. So whatever. Okay. Next up, there's a tweet from Lauren Gooday. Good. G-O-O-D-E on X.
Dupe. It's pronounced.
And Lauren Dupe says she is extremely curious why Sundar Pichai and his team would do this. There was a quote or an article from Neiman Lab that amid mass media layoffs, Google tests removal of the news tab from search results. Danny Sullivan on his at search liaison handle jumped in and said, yep, it happened to me too. I was like, where'd it go? It's back. Here's a statement about it. Quote, the news filter is available to users now. We do not have plans to remove it. So it seemed like it was a bug. If you didn't see news for a while, it was not a feature. It was a bug. Okay, YouTube Create, Google's standalone mobile app aimed at creators, which helps them produce both shorts and longer videos, is expanding to a broader set of markets. It will now be offered in 21 different countries. If you forgot our initial reporting on Create, you can have unique filters and effects, like put 3D glasses on or cut yourself out of a video, and you can make shorter videos.
So it's filters from TikTok.
It is exactly that.
Yes.
But everything is still 1 minute, to the best of my knowledge, with YouTube Shorts.
Interesting.
Yes. Okay. And then three prominent progressive outlets sued OpenAI this Wednesday, alleging the company violated their copyright protections in an extension of the battle lines drawn between news publishers and AI companies, according to the Daily Beast. There are two lawsuits, a joint suit by Raw Story and Alternet, and then another by The Intercept that were filed in Manhattan. And they allege that OpenAI violated the Digital Copyright Millennium Act when it trained ChatGPT to not acknowledge or respect copyright and to not notify users that they were protected by journalists' copyrights. There's going to be more of this coming.
Yeah.
And then lastly here, there was a recent prediction by Gartner, the research firm, that suggested traditional search engine volume might decrease 25% by 2026. And the change is expected due to chatbots and virtual agents taking up that search share. And they quoted, this was an article from Digital Information World. And they said, like, oh,
I thought it was, yeah.
No, this I had to do it because they said there's also a survey conducted by the incredibly fast talker Barry Schwartz among SEO experts to gather their perspectives.
Wait, did they say incredibly fast talker?
No, I said that.
Oh,
there's no way.
To gather their perspectives on the future of search volume. And they turned Barry's poll on Twitter into a chart. They charted Barry.
Wow. Wow. That's honestly meta.
Next level. They also had an article from Mike Ryan over on Digital Information World.
They're listening to the show.
I think they are. But they took Barry's poll and turned it into a chart. And apparently 37% of people think there's going to be a 25% decline. This might be the worst chart ever made.
Spit on my computer because there really is no information
here. There's like a percentage on top of a percentage on the x-axis.
It's amazing.
And sometimes the y-axis makes no sense. Like, it's just percentages on the y-axis, percentages on the x-axis, and then percentage labels on the actual bars.
I really like the color choice, though. It's beautiful.
Purple?
Yeah, it matches your water bottle that's not here today.
In a couple of years, we're going to find out that this podcast was just an AI version of Digital Information World.
Oh, my goodness. So we are not real.
Just like Perplexity.
Kosha. Yeah. Gemishop. All right. Well, that's inorganic. What's happening in social media?
Not much. Strap in. First up, we said it was coming. Now it is here. Video Spaces are live on X. Congratulations.
It's awesome. I think it's important to note that the source is Doge Designer.
But they're verified. And they have a little Doge icon.
Yeah. And in case you didn't know how to enable it, they also shared a video in which you can see them use the toggle button.
I don't understand why more people don't do that.
What?
Like, why doesn't LinkedIn have video chats?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they will. This has been something I've
ever heard of.
We've
just
reported on this so many times that, like, it's coming. Now it's here.
I know, but that'd be cool for, like, PPC chat.
Yeah.
Remember when it was 2020 and we had to report on Zoom bombing?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they're scared.
And Jeffrey Toobin.
This is a thing. I don't know. I'm going to skip ahead, actually, since we're talking about video. So something else for X is expanding audio and video calling features to non-premium subscribers in the app. And in the article, Andrew Hutchinson basically was like, look, I don't know why this is revolutionary or a big deal, but I think it's just a big deal because they're just doing things in the platform and trying to get people to use it in all sorts of ways. Nobody else is doing that.
It's the only way you can contact Elon now. He doesn't have a phone anymore.
You
gotta X him.
X him. Okay. Well, that's something.
What do you do with his phone?
Got rid of it.
How does he use X?
Gotta call him on X.
Interesting. Do we know his number?
At Elon Musk on X.
I'm kidding.
Give him a ring.
All right. Keeping it Twitter bird here. More exclusive content, basically, on the platform. They've announced a partnership with the Big Three, which, for those that don't know,
it's us right here.
Yeah, exclusive. It's a 3-on-3 basketball league founded by the hip hop musician and actor Ice Cube.
I thought it was an athletic conference.
Like, no, it's like a league. It's 3-on-3.
Wait, yeah. There would never be an athletic conference with three schools.
They have their own shoes from 360i.
Whatever. Ice Cube's involved. 361.
I don't know.
It's, wait. What if you're
360i?
Do they have some, an award called the Toilet Bowl?
I don't know.
What?
Never mind.
No, but it's 3-on-3. Like, they're getting into more content.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's exclusive. It's an exclusive deal. You can watch this. It'd be fun. I don't know. They're pushing things, guys.
People. I think it's cool.
I didn't say it wasn't.
Yeah.
I just, I mean, anything Ice Cube's involved in. I get them mixed up. Which one is in Law & Order? That's Ice-T.
Ice-T is married to Coco. They have the baby Chanel.
Yes, got it. And Ice Cube.
Ice Cube is in like family in comedies. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Either way, both delicious. Just put your Ice Cube in your iced tea. I don't know. I was going to say beverages, but Ice Cubes aren't a beverage. Just forget it. Whatever. Okay. Instagram is experimenting with a new friends map, which is basically like the Snap map. Could be interesting if anything comes to fruition with it as far as like advertising to folks that are in physical locations if you have a brick and mortar. So it's something to look out for. But the one thing here, it says it's a Snap map Instagram's version. And I didn't know if that was like a Taylor's version joke, but I just have a gripe because... We never did this, like, we were going to do a thing, a shoot in the heck about Taylor Swift versus Mike Posner. And I spent hours crying over Taylor Swift songs, and I had a lot to say about it. And we never got it, and I feel like we're not going to do it.
I think we should still do it. Greg acted like it was a Super Bowl thing, but we can do it next week.
It was a Super Bowl thing.
It was going to be a Super Bowl thing, but
we can do it next week.
Okay, so I'll save my thoughts.
Sure.
Okay. I cried a lot.
We're having a songwriting competition.
Wow. Over All Too Well, 10-minute version?
It's probably all of the songs on that list just for some Last reason Kiss. Hit me. Yeah. That one. Yes. I know exactly where I was at a stop sign in my parents' neighborhood and I could not move the car. I was that lady in the picture earlier.
We got to do it. I'm going to add more.
Okay.
Wait, you're not adding more. We have 10 songs.
Another test from Instagram. They're testing live stream games, but it's not like a Twitch thing. It's just a simple this or that or trivia, just ways that creators can engage with their followers during live stream events.
So fun.
So, woohoo! This just in, LinkedIn is for you too, B2C advertisers. It is not just a place for B2B, and they are saying so because they did some research on their members and found that LinkedIn users in general have more money to spend and are more keen to spend on luxuries than users on other platforms.
That makes sense.
It does. And they called out things like leisure and vacations, cars, saving for retirement, things like that. So I know a lot of us think of it as a B2B place to go, and it definitely is. But if you just want to advertise to the LinkedIn people in general and you're in like the luxury space or even financial planning, people looking to start a business, like there's probably a space for you. So check out their research there. Some new things from Threads. They're doing a live test of post drafts, which apparently is one of the most requested features, but you can only draft one thing at a time. So don't go like trying to get ahead on your week.
Who cares?
Exactly. There's a new camera integration. Saved posts are now available to all users. And they are also expanding their fact check alerts into the Threads platform as
is
political.
Threads Facebook now?
You can cross post now, right? That's a thing too.
Well, I think you can add them to your story, but
it just seems silly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Meta has apparently abandoned a legal case. They had a lawsuit essentially against a company that was scraping their publicly available data. They have abandoned that. So I guess they didn't really have a case to make. But there's some back and forth about whether things are, you know, being stealing. Or if you're stealing user data, but if it's out there and you can access it, then it's not really stealing. So you can read about that if you're interested in legal drama. I am not, but we will end here as Reddit gets ready to go public. They released some new numbers. This is from Digital Information World. We might as well, you know what, since you're listening, thank you for the information. Reddit has disclosed that they now have about 73 million daily users, 500 million monthly visitors, and boasted $804 million in revenue in 2023. So, big stuff. And that brings us to our real life segment. Straight out of our accounts and into your ear holes. It's time for Working Hard or Hardly Working, where we talk about what's going on in our IRL work. Good, bad, or otherwise. Working hard for me this week, really every week, but just a shout out this week to Julia and Elena, who you can't see. They're off camera. They're sitting over here. We've had some shifts in the team. We've also got some news coming later where we're going to need some help with tables being out. And so Julia and Elena on our team here at Cypress North, just thank you for stepping up, joining the Marketing O'Clock team officially, helping us out on social, helping us out on the board, doing all the things. We're just so glad to have you. Thanks for volunteering and being here with us. It's so much fun.
We, as an agency, Cypress North, we're in a place where we needed client testimonials for a surprise that should be live today on cypressnorth.com. And I'm always so nervous asking for things like that. And I was just blown away by the response from our clients. And then on the other side, my daycare that I sent my kids to asked for Google reviews this week, and they like offered a gift basket raffle, but I'm like, I don't care about that. Like, I'll leave a review. So I feel like you feel like it's a big deal when you're asking other people for it, but it's not a big deal.
Also, low key, you might've got the best review ever.
Me?
Yeah. For your actions.
Thanks. Yeah. You did. And just from surprising people who are like, you know, business people, and you don't always hear things like that. So it's nice to hear. So I guess the message is don't be afraid to ask, because people love you.
Yeah, I was shocked at how much effort people put into
it.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
How thankful people are for a good team in your corner.
Yeah, it was nice.
Great. All right, and then for me, I guess this is maybe like working hard, but also like next week we'll be hardly working here for us, is Jill Fetcher, who we have another podcast, The Agency Scoop. So if you listen to that, thank you, A. B, it's going to be on hiatus now because she is leaving the company. And Jill's just been an integral part of Cypress North for the last 4 years, has been phenomenal. She's going in-house. She really helped us a lot here, especially on the marketing side. Like, I can do marketing, like I can do that stuff, but not as much on the sales side of things. And, she's going to leave a big hole here, and just want to say thank you for all of the hard work that you put in.
Hey, I'm listening to this show every week.
Yeah.
She's still a diehard fan.
Yeah.
So, definitely going to miss her, and then, you know, just stay tuned for any updates on Agency Scoop, but it's probably going to be on suspended indefinitely. So
is that a sports term?
It's a sports term. Like, yeah, that's me. So, we're going to miss you, Jill, and appreciate everything you've done.
And now for this week's
Cool Tool.
As a reminder, our Cool Tool segment is not an official endorsement or paid mention. We're simply sharing something we found in our travels that may be of use to our listeners. And is really, really cool.
This week's Cool Tool is a script that does a heavy lift. It is the PMax Brand Traffic Analyzer from Smarter E-Commerce, and it visualizes the volume and share of brand versus non-brand traffic in your Performance Max campaigns over time. So it's a visualizer. It can help you understand how some of the changes that you've made to your campaigns can impact performance as well as the share of branded traffic, so you can keep a better eye on the bigger picture. It's really cool. And they're pretty too. You like colors? I see a lot of purple and beige, which pair very nicely together. So it is available for the low, low price of your name and email address. So if you're running PMax, you can't afford to miss this. Again, it is the PMax Brand Traffic Analyzer script. And as always, we'll have the link in our newsletter as well as on Discord. It's newsletter.andcommunity.marketingaclock.com respectively. So pick your poison and check it out.
And it's from Mike Ryan from Modern Retailer, so you can trust it.
Now it's time for our must-read marketing article of the week. An article so advanced, so in-depth, so detailed that we simply cannot cover it in its entirety on today's show.
This week's must-read marketing article of the week comes from James Allen over on Search Engine Land. The title of the article is How to Make Your AI-Generated Content Sound More Human. Seems like a spammy article, but I just love the fact that most people with AI and content probably do his bad example. And James goes through and gives you detailed prompts using ChatGPT documentation and shows what a bad person kind of does to create an article, and then what a good person does by adjusting and enriching your prompts, and gives you specific examples in how with these prompts you need to almost write an article. Like, it's almost like you're writing an article to AI to be like, yeah, I want to do this. Here, use this, and you should be positive. There could be some noise elements. He talks about how to make AI the right way. And I think it's something that everybody could learn from. And I just appreciated the fact that gave like all of his secrets with prompts away on how to make it human. So thank you, James.
And now on to our playlist of curated songs to work to. You can head over to playlist.marketingaclock.com to listen to Marketing a Playlist. I will be adding Walking After Midnight by Patsy Cline this week. And just a reminder that Patsy Cline Radio is a great playlist on Spotify.
No,
not as good as Playlist at Marketing Clock.
No,
nothing is. I wasn't really feeling anything this week, so I'm pulling a Greg Finn and going with the last song that I've liked on Spotify, and it's I Never Came by Queens of the Stone Age.
All right, now I'm going to go with Hell's Bells by AC/DC.
Wow.
I haven't listened to that in a long time.
What this made you listen to rocks. It?
I don't know. I was like classic rock radio, and it came out, and I'm like, you know what? Like, once a year, you should listen to Hell's Bells.
I feel like AC/DC is, like, not good, but they will get you fired up Hell's once
Bells.
In a while.
Yeah. Hell's Bells.
That should be on the flip calendar. Once a year, you should listen to
Flip on Hell's Bells.
All right, that does it for today's show.
It is now officially not Marketing O'Clock.
Thanks for listening.
We miss you already.
Can't wait to see you next week. Thanks for listening to Marketing O'Clock. If you're looking for more information on today's topic, head over to marketingoclock.com/newsletter to receive every single article we covered. We share the news as it breaks in our Discord community. Head over to community.marketingoclock.com to join.
Welcome to this week's Shooting the Heck. We're after our famous Friday news show. We don't talk about marketing anymore. We just...
Shoot the heck.
Today, we have a very special edition of this because this is probably our producer table's last show before he welcomes a beautiful baby girl.
Congrats, Tables.
Congrats.
Thank you.
What we're going to do is we're going to give you some advice. This is called unsolicited newborn advice.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go around and just give you advice. And you have nothing to do but to listen to it, take it what you want, and don't take what you want either.
Sounds good.
Should I go first?
Yeah.
Sure.
My first piece of advice, this is kind of a recent thing that's been on my mind. Get yourself some new hoodie sweatshirts with some delicious, really chewy drawstrings.
Mm.
Not like the plastic ones that we grew up with, but like a new rubbery one.
Yeah.
And it's hours of entertainment while you're holding your baby. Great for plane travel.
Okay.
Ooh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
All right, nice. So for me, there's a book called The Happiest Baby on the Block or something like that. And there's a video. And this guy is super creepy looking. He looks like really waxy skin, long hair. And there are these five S's. It's like swaddle, surf. One of them is shake. One of them is that five S's is shake, but they're like, he uses a different word than
not shake.
But you watch the video, this guy is shaking the child. But it's like these kids are like, these newborns are used to like movement.
Yeah, as long as you hold the head.
Yeah, you have to hold the neck.
You shake
you just
the whole,
kind of like
the
whole thing. But I didn't know how aggressive this fellow was, whatever he calls it. It's like, I don't know, shimmering the baby or something. But it was really shaking the baby. One of the five S's is shake. Although you should not do that.
Don't shake
the
baby.
If your wife has a yoga ball for like pregnancy prep, keep it out for the baby and then you just bounce.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing you got to do is like you got to shush the baby, which is crazy.
Loudly.
Because you got to make it sound like you're inside still. So you just sit there and you're like, shh, and you're like, you know, gently shaking this baby.
One of my top five songs from a couple years ago is just, it's called Shush Baby for Sleeping and it's just on repeat. Shh.
Yeah.
We would play it in the car.
That's awful for you, but it works. Okay, mine's for you, not for the baby, and for mama. Invest in an ottoman or some sort of thing you can put your feet up on because you're going to be sitting for a very long time and you can have the world's comfiest chair, but if you don't have something to do with your legs, you're just going to like shrink and it's awful and it will just change your life if you can put your feet up while you're relaxing with the baby.
That's a good one. Is this a serpentine?
No. Do you want it to be?
Sure.
All right, go.
Yeah. My other piece, I don't know if it's like advice or more like a mantra, but I wish somebody had said this to me in like the first day or two. Just remember, the baby's breathing. Like I stood over the thing when I first had my son for like a good 4 hours and didn't sleep and just like watched to make sure he was breathing. Like, of course he's breathing. He's alive now. I just feel like somebody needed to tell me that.
Yeah.
Like, you should check in on your child. I'm not saying don't, but like, I was really, really paranoid and did not need to be. I just didn't know what to do because it was such a new and foreign thing. So, the baby's breathing. You're okay. Sit down. Put your feet up.
Back to me. When you're trying to burp a baby, you need to smack the baby in the back flatly and firm. You have to like get pressure
and
to burp
face
a baby.
The baby away from you. If it's going to make them throw up.
But people like pat it like you're like like you're patting a dog. It's like that does not work. I had two babies and I might be top 1% of burpers in the world.
I've like burped the baby with my mouth open.
Yeah. No, don't do that.
But you can give a nice firm. Like, that's fine. You're fine with that. The baby's going to be fine. And it's going to feel, and it's going to stop crying. Because it's like, if you just go, it's crying because there's a problem. And you just need to.
Just get the gas out. Yet.
Yeah. Okay. My next one, when babies are really small, I always want to just adhere to like a normal life schedule. Of course, they're not sleeping normal. But I always am like, oh, it's morning. Let's put a new outfit on. Let's take a bath at night. That's not going to happen at first. You just need to base all of that around when the explosion of poop is going to come that day. Like, do not get your dress, your baby dress before she poops. They're going to need an outfit change.
Yeah.
Same with the bath. I just wait. I basically just give her a bath every time she poops.
You also have like very elaborate costumes for your baby.
Not really. Those are just the ones you take pictures in. That's just the only times they get photographed.
Okay.
Okay, so I need another one. Tabes, this is for you, not mom. When you have to empty that diaper pail, bring the whole diaper pail outside before you open it, or it permeates your whole house and it lingers for like 30 minutes. It smells so bad. And hold your breath every time you open the diaper pail to put another diaper in. Mm-hmm.
100%. Yeah.
But even when you hold your breath, you feel the warmth of the poop.
It's so disgusting. It's so gross.
It is like fermenting in there and just, oh man, memories. Oh.
All right. So another one is like, you might think like, hey, I want to make the house like be super clean and like, I want to be back to like where we were. No, like you need to set yourself up for success. If you've got portable cribs, if you got whatever, use as much of that as you can. Leave it out. Don't be ashamed of it. You just need to put a baby down sometimes. And if you've got those cribs somewhere, like pack and play, whatever you've got, like just leave it out. Give yourself that time and be like, I got to go to the bathroom. I'm going to go drop her in there and be fine.
That's good advice. Wardrobe note, spit up stains white the worst. You would think it would blend in. It's not the same. I recommend all black, obviously, tables. And then I guess to bring it back, serpentine style, I would say – I don't know if this is controversial, but I had a toddler with bowel issues. So enjoy the baby poop phase. I feel like it's actually a lot easier to clean up and the baby doesn't move as much as later in life. So it's gross. It's not fun, but it could be. I hope it's not, but it could get much, much worse for you down the line. So just like, don't worry about it. It's just poop. We all do it.
But to piggyback off of what Jess just said, a little different with girls.
Fair.
You get pooping in a diaper, kind of gets.
That's why I give her a bath every time.
Yeah, you got to clean it up.
Yeah.
They're not going to die, but you need to make sure you're going in the correct direction.
It's terrible. Front to back is what he's saying.
Yes.
That's your last one?
No, I have like 10 more. Okay. But it's up to you.
I can do another one. I was going to say bring a Ziploc freezer bag, gallon size, in your diaper bag wherever you go. Because if you do have a poop explosion or something on the road, you need somewhere to put the clothes.
Do what works for you and for your wife. Like, people are going to tell you a billion different things and try to shame you if you don't go one way or another. It's like, no, you need to be in the good state of mind. If you're in a bad state of mind, your baby is going to be in a bad state of mind. You need to do what works for you. If it's breastfeeding, great. If it's formula, great. If it's something else, great. If it's sleeping, whatever. Like, you just need to figure out what works for you. And that is like so important.
So important.
I feel like that's a good one to end with. Unless you had one to top.
No, I was going to say, don't listen to anyone. Like,
yes,
do your thing. If the baby's happy and you're happy, that's all that matters.
But we're so excited for you, Tabes. We'll miss you.
Yeah, I'm super excited too. Thank you for all your advice. See you next week. You know what time it is. It's officially marketing o'clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.